Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. For those that have been submitting their messages through the site, thank you. I can tell that people have also been dropping by RadioSasha.blogspot.com and keeping up with some of the social media where I enjoy doing the cross-promotion of places that I frequent, but also those that I welcome into the realm of Sasha Talks. For those who would like to know where all of the links are, if you go to SashaTalks.com, click on the different tabs. They all cross-reference one another, inbound and outbound, and check it out. Today, they're going to focus on a topic that I've touched upon, but I glossed over it because it was not the main topic of conversation. I often talk about life, living, wellness, foremost business, management and leadership, and spirituality. But one thing that most of my topics have in common have to do with the fact that we're all living, growing, learning, making mistakes, and for those who are brave enough to report back, we share what is appropriate. So today, keep in mind that Sasha talks terms of service and disclaimers do apply. What I will be sharing with you is probably 1% of a lot of material from experience that people could share. We're going to focus on what some call it a behavior, others view it as a state of mind, passive-aggressive behaviors. We know what aggression is, but let's focus on the passive-aggressiveness. As the word indicates, it has to do with the tendency to engage in behaviors through speech, and actions where people are spreading hostility, they're deliberately reacting in a negative manner. So whether they're keeping you from getting to your goal, it could be through manipulation, it could be through bullying, they're not being direct in what they're trying to accomplish. Some people have really hard time communicating what they're feeling, or they're frustrated, or they don't agree with a colleague, or they don't want to engage their boss. It could be your lover at home, it could be your spouse, it could be a loved one, it could be your friend. We have so many relationships out there where we focus on the human level. Now, with passive aggressiveness, we have to keep in mind that the behaviors and how people emote may not always be visible. It may not always be tangible, where someone leaves a note and says, go clean up after yourself. Don't leave the dishes in the sink. Let's say hypothetically the person who left the note saw who did that in a common area, whether you're sharing a house with roommates or this happens to be in a break room in a workplace. Are you not adult enough to go up and kindly tell them to please clean up after themselves? There's a difference between those who have the manners to communicate, but they choose not to. And then there are those who really choose to take the aggressive path. There are those who engage in silent treatment, so if they have nothing good to say, they're not going to comment. But then there are those who think that they're being really good listeners, but in fact, they're just being complicit, to put it bluntly. Silent treatment is a form of emotional abuse. I have covered that about 3-4 years ago in one of my deliveries, and it's debatable because some people say silent treatment is a pretty explicit behavior, while other people claim that it doesn't count because you're not really putting something out. I look at it as it is a passive-aggressive form of behavior because you are emitting negative energy. You're not helping the matter getting resolved. For those who are negative Nellies, they have nothing good to say, but they're still going to volunteer their negativity. And it makes it really uncomfortable for people to coexist. And they become challenging, and it has nothing to do with challenging authority, challenging one another. There are good challenges where people grow through learning from one another, but they present really negative challenges. It ends up compromising trust, It definitely makes you question loyalty to one another, especially in confined environments where you have to coexist for extended periods of time. That could be with, let's say, within your family. We don't get to pick our family, but if you end up living with certain people, you're mindful of that. Likewise, if you're working for a third-party organization, you're coexisting with all of your colleagues, you're going to care what type of relationships you have. And even if you're not happy about those that you dwell among, that's a choice that you made, and you have to live with it. Either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And the negative Nellies think that they're resolving it by being passive aggressive, but you're part of the problem. And when you have too many negative Nellies, that outweigh the positive people in the workplace. People know that I can be sarcastic at times, but also serious. Then you might want to start cleaning house. Another way that people start engaging in passive aggressive behavior has to do with deferring and neglecting results. So let's say that you've been tasked to take care of the obligation. It could be a chore at home, or it could be a big project at work, and people are relying on you. You are one part of a whole. And you keep on neglecting your commitment to it. You'll get to it. You don't have time. You're too busy. I've done a segment where I came up with a long list of excuses that I hear from people just because they are so repulsed by what is expected of them. They refuse to engage others like an adult and work through any conflict and communicate their frustration. Instead, they just go silent, or you could close your door, but you can't run from your problems. You don't take that phone call. You just sit on that email thing. You have the answer, but you don't want to share it. It's delaying other people from getting work done. That goes back to when I asked people, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And then there are those who engage in behaviors that are a bit deceptive. And I, from my observation, some of them don't realize it. But I use the candy shop example. If you go into a candy shop and you ask for certain candies and the shop owner bags them and he brings it to you, and then all of a sudden you change your mind and you go, no, actually, I don't want this. Could you put these other candies in the bag? So out of good faith, the shop owner goes back and changes up according to your preference, and then he hands you the bag, and then you keep on changing your mind. It's okay to change your mind, but when you change your mind with a high frequency during a short duration of time, it diminishes your credibility. Because after, let's say, hypothetically, the fourth time you go and you tell the shop owner, I want this, the person's going to be frustrated, and if you really try your luck on and they happen to be having a bad day, they're going to ask you kindly to leave, and they're not going to care whether they earned your business or not. So you have to be mindful of how you communicate implicitly, explicitly, through your body language, through how you engage people. There are many people who run their mouth day in, day out, and half the time it's just random crap coming out. That is meaningless. It does not contribute to any positivity. It does not contribute to any solutions. It does not contribute to nurturing relationships. And if you really pay attention to that rhetoric and you have to filter, I'm not saying be fake and be manipulative, but filter your own thoughts for you to realize how positive you are, or you may be a bit in the middle. We're human. It's normal to have thoughts that may deviate from who we like to believe we are. But that's where we have to put in the work in terms of self-development and train our mind to focus and to focus in a positive manner. Now, going back to changing your mind, there's nothing wrong with it, but you have to be mindful of your credibility. I did touch upon body language, and as much as there's so much rhetoric out there in education and people talk about it, I don't give it too much weight. There is some sensibility attached to it. But when you have to keep in mind that when people go about coexisting in different types of set environments, they learn the language to know how to play the game of life. So if you read too much into these things, it's deceptive. Because I happen to be a spiritualist, and I am an innate spiritualist, meaning that I was born a certain way with certain gifts that I've been able to integrate, I don't need to see people's behaviors. I don't need to see them in front of me. With the type of spiritual work that I do and the readings, it is far removed from the science that people talk about. That's why when people may make the right effort in getting to know you by integrating the right body language when communicating with you, I'm not always too impressed because I still, given who I am, and not everybody knows what I do, I just go right to the energy baseline of knowing, okay, their energy is not aligning with their body language, it's not aligning with their rhetoric. I pierce through all of those layers of distraction, as I call it, but I do commend people for making an effort in knowing how to coexist and be mindful of their demeanor. You don't have to like everyone around you. You don't have to love everyone around you. There's always going to be something that will help you gauge what your preferences are. And all I tell people, I don't tell you what decisions to make and how to make them necessarily, but I do encourage you to side with the light than the darkness, because the darkness is a black hole and it will suck everybody in if you're not paying attention. And it's never too late to wake up and make that decision that starting this moment, I'm going to be more kinder to myself and be kinder to others. Those that happen to be passive aggressive as their default baseline, not as a situational behavior you engage in or you don't know better. We're not here to punish those or to make anyone feel bad for those who don't know better. We're talking about those that are aware of their behaviors, and they some view it funny, some view it as, if a person did this to me, then I have the right to treat them that way as well. And you don't realize that now you're getting lost in the noise. You're not rising above it. And when things don't start going well around you in life, that's because you've fallen prey to that type of behavior. And you have to be accountable for it. No one is perfect. For example, I thought of this topic because a lot of people have touched upon it in the past several years. And I would just run from it because I'm thinking, I don't want to cover a topic which is a bit too redundant, but people deal with it. People live among it. We all live among it. And if we say that we've never engaged in that type of behavior, then we're not being true. For me, it would be situational. And then I realized that, okay, maybe I didn't do something. And that's why I remind people, I am among you. I'm not above you. And that's how we move forward. That's the beauty of why we come together here. Moving along, one of the behaviors that I've seen people engage in, and I've seen this more in the workplace settings, has to do with sabotage. In confined constructs, there happens to be management. There might be good managers. There might be horrible managers. Then there are complicit managers. Then there are leaders. I've seen probably, I could count on one hand how many good leaders I've seen during my career path thus far in the last 2 decades. And I could show you a lot of bad managers. I would need a couple of hands for that. You have to build healthy relationships no matter where you go in life. Not because with the mindset of what will I get out of it, but more about how will I grow and also help other people by being of service. That is something that not a lot of people understand, that in order for you to succeed, in order for you to grow, for order for you to attract abundance, for your own life to go well, you need to be mindful and understand why helping others is also important. You're coexisting in society. So even if one says, I don't care, society to a degree still has some interest in you. You don't want to go out manipulating the results. There are times where there are loyalty is being compromised in the workplace and people start building teams in terms of whose side you're on. And it creates added layers of superficial maneuver that people have to trudge through in order to get through their workday. And it comes in and day out. And then there are those that tamper with decision-making variables, processes, and then that makes the outcome become delayed or sabotaged or far deviated from what you expected the outcome would be. And that's bad because I see that happen, I don't want to say usually, but now and then in rare circumstances that happens in executive management. It might happen in middle management. And I notice more of those power games are played from middle management and up. It doesn't mean that those type of questionable behaviors do not play out within the other tiers of any role that one may be working. But when you start sabotaging and becoming a negative Nelly, you deserve to be out the door. Because there are side effects to these type of behaviors and rhetoric, whether it is written, spoken, or overheard. In some shape or form, people become negatively impacted by that. So the side effects would be your job dissatisfaction, the lack of loyalty, having an uncomfortable work environment, something that I don't have a sense of humor for because I've seen cases play out in court. So it's not good for HR. Some companies have HR, others don't, and then even for legal purposes. So I've seen that play out in front of me. And I will tell you, it is not pretty. So when I come across organizations and groups and people who are being negligent in how they execute their decisions and how they handle their talent pool, they won't get rid of the poor talent, but they keep on collecting more and more negativity in the workplace, whether it comes in the form of decision making or people. And then there's all this speculation of what may be going on. People are going to speculate about all of us in life, whether we leave our home or not. So I tell people, don't worry that much about what people think. Focus on what you're meant to do and hold true to your mission and your values. There's always going to be speculation in the workplace. There's going to be speculation in your marriage. There's going to be speculation in your family, in your friendships, with your acquaintanceships, in your business relationships. It's going to be there. It's part of life. It comes. I'm not saying you have to accept it, but you could distance yourself from it. And there's a buffer. It goes back to accountability. Who are the people that you keep around you in your life? And especially in business. Now, in business, if you're running the show, I expect you to be running the show. If you're the manager, if you're the executive, you're getting paid to execute decisions. You cannot execute decisions and then pull back. Execute decisions and pull back. Your credibility dies off. And when people start becoming numb to your presence, you're just killing time, you're killing resources, you're going to be losing money, there's going to be more legal situations surfacing. You're going to have crappier talent that you're holding on to. Now, how could I use the word crappy and talent in the same phrase? As I said it out loud, I realized it. There are all types of talent. You want to hold on to those that help you increase your ROI per headcount. You don't want to hold on to those that bring down your ROI. They might be representing a liability. Usually when someone represents a liability in a company, it's not a one person job. It's usually other people also being complicit or accompanying negligent behavior. And it usually happens in groups of 3 to 5, or it might be two people, but it is rarely one person who is being passive aggressive and raising the stakes for the company and not in a good way. When people ask what they should do, I remember when I started out on Sasha Talks, and I would receive a lot of questions on the live radio shows that I used to do with the call-in, and people would line up, and I was always left speechless that people would wait to speak to me for an hour and a half and try their luck, and they usually would get cut off around the 1 hour mark, and all types of topics would be entertained. And I recall people calling in, men and women from different professions, asking questions about what they were dealing with in their workplaces, and conflict and conflict management and passive aggressive behavior was probably one of the top three topics that were of concern that we looked into through those spiritual readings that I used to do. There was a time and place for that. When I am coaching people and also consulting private clients, passive aggressive behavior probably ranks on the top one of eight concerns when it comes to employee engagement and decision making among executive leadership that I've gotten to explore. So when people engage in behaviors that are not favorable, what should you do? Well, if they go low, let them go low, because there is no depth to how low one can go. If you jump into that game, you're not going to get out of it fast. And you're going to end up sabotaging your own well-being. That is the person who suffers the most, yourself. And then if you choose to take the high road, you remove yourself out of those settings. You don't get to control everything. If you're not happy with your job, chances are high that you weren't happy with your job before these occurrences started surfacing. And if these type of behaviors are persistent, long-term, and saturated, I would say one upping one another will just end up drowning the goodness of the entity, the goodness of a relationship, the goodness of a marriage, the goodness of your friendship. The list goes on. And even if you take the high road, that's a good thing. It takes a lot of courage to be mindful of that. But what are you going to do after that? Are you going to leave a situation? There are some situations you cannot leave, and I completely understand that. But I'm talking about where you have the free will and you have the flexibility. For example, a work environment. If you're going to leave, are you leaving for the right reasons? And if you get too intertwined in this type of mess, keep in mind, if you're passive aggressive yourself and you're complaining about others who are by nature like that, not situationally, then you all deserve one another. These behaviors just end up interfering with healthy decision making. It also ends up being a concern for others. If you're going to be leading by example, it's going to be harder to attract the right people, because it doesn't take much effort to attract the wrong people. Whether you're hiring people for work, whether you're recruiting new friends, whether you're recruiting somebody to join you in your family, attracting negativity comes for free. There's a reason why misery loves company. Don't feed into that. Good things take work, good things build over time, but if you contributed to a hot mess, you have to be engaged to undo that. You might not be able to undo all of it because you belong part of a group, but you have to know when to cut your losses short and walk away. There are people who go without talking for 2 weeks because they're mad at one another. You can't do that in a work environment if you're working closely with an executive. You can't do that if you're going to be working as part of a team, and everything involves communication and tangible engagement. You got to produce. You have deliverables due. You can't just run away. You can't close your door. You can't stop taking those phone calls. You can't just ignore those emails. You can't just walk into your home and ignore your spouse. You can't just neglect your kids. There are many ways of communicating, and I highly encourage people that even if it is outside of your comfort zone, make an effort. Now, if you are passive aggressive by nature, then I don't think you're shy. It's not about being outside of your comfort zone. It's just you're being obnoxious by being outside your comfort zone. So just do your best to shift that energy into something that will come back to you in a positive way. And that's why karma trucks exist. For anyone who has questions, go to sashatalks.com, click on the page. You could share your story, your question. Either it will come through Moving Mountains, Sasha Talks, or Karma Trucks. I am entertaining questions for Karma Trucks. You could ask any question of appropriate nature regarding lifestyle, my work, my experiences, my thoughts, or my opinion on a topic. And if chosen, you will get a shout out with your name. It could be your city, country, state. Or if you have a website or a business, I will be glad to give the shout out. Sometimes people write to me, but they leave out everything but their name, or they share other details but leave out their name for privacy purposes. And everything is subject to Sasha Talks terms of service and disclaimers. Thank you for joining me today. It was a bit more slower paced than I anticipated, but I think because it was the topic that it was, I didn't feel the need to rush through it because I don't want to just feed into the aggression. Anyhow, be good, be safe, and until next time, be blessed.